Okay, the next presentation is Demographic and Health Survey Research, Availability, Accessibility, and Policy Implications by Madeline Short Fabick. And she's a public health advisor with the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, where she works to improve availability and access to health information for decision makers. A major thrust of her work is her engagement with the Demographic and Health Surveys Project as a member of the DHS management team. Prior to joining USAID, Madeline worked to coordinate HIV research at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. She holds a master's in health science from Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health.
So I'm presenting today on behalf of myself and my two co-authors, YJ Choi, who's here in the audience, and Sandra Bird, who wasn't able to come today. And I'm here to share some of the results from a systematic review that we undertook to better understand Demographic and Health Survey, or DHS, data availability, use by researchers, and resulting policy implications. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose, but I should note that the views and opinions expressed in this presentation are the authors and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of USAID, our employer. So briefly, here's the outline of my presentation today. I'll start with a bit of background on the DHS project and move on to discuss the objectives of our systematic review, the methods that we used, our findings, and then I'll end with some discussion and conclusion. So first, some background on the DHS. The DHS is a premier USAID program that began in 1984 to provide quality, population-based health data for developing countries. Over time, it's completed more than 230 nationally representative and internationally comparable household surveys in over 80 countries. And DHS surveys collect data on a wide range of population and health topics in developing countries and include biomarker data collection as well. The surveys themselves are conducted by an in-country implementing agency, frequently the National Statistics Office, with technical support from DHS, specifically the DHS contractor ICF Macro. A really unique element of the DHS program is that all the data collected, including each survey's data set and final report, are made freely available to the public through various venues, but primarily through the project's website, measuredhs.com. And this free availability of data really serves to further a key aim of the DHS project, which is to provide quality data for policy development and program planning. And this brings me to the objectives of our systematic review. Our objectives were threefold. First, to review trends in DHS data availability, that is, trends in survey implementation, such as the number of surveys conducted per year, by country, the types of questions included in those surveys, et cetera. Second, we wanted to systematically review public health literature to assess trends and analyses using DHS data. And third, we wanted to describe the relationship between data availability and data utilization. And by data utilization, we mean the degree to which researchers are analyzing DHS data and having such analyses published. So by reviewing trends in data availability and utilization, we hope to better understand how DHS data are being transformed into information and how such information is being made available to policy and programmatic decision makers. We collected data from two sources. For data on the DHS, we went to the Measure DHS website and pulled information on all completed population-based surveys conducted under the project between 1984 and 2010. For data on peer-reviewed publications analyzing DHS data, we turn to PubMed. So based on our initial search terms, we identified 1,326 publications. We then identified publications that met the following eligibility criteria. One, publications that involved an analysis of DHS data, and two, publications with an English language abstract. We excluded publications that only referenced DHS in the background or the discussion section. So of the 1,326 publications, 1,160 were initially considered for further review based on that eligibility criteria. During the subsequent review process, we determined that an additional 43 publications did not meet the eligibility criteria, resulting in a final total of 1,117 articles published across 232 journals. So what do we find? First, in terms of the surveys themselves, 236 household surveys were completed across 84 countries between 1985 and 2010. 49% of the surveys were conducted in sub-Saharan Africa, followed by Asia and Latin America and Caribbean. The annual number of standard DHS remained constant at approximately 8 surveys per year, while the annual number of all DHS surveys slightly increased due to the introduction of the AIDS Indicator Survey, the AIS, and the Malaria Indicator Survey, the MIS, in the mid-2000s. So although the annual number of the standard DHS remained constant, again at approximately 8 surveys per year, the amount and the scope of data collected in a standard DHS has increased over time, both in, through the revisions to the Households and Women's Core Questionnaire and through the addition of new optional modules. And these optional modules are basically topic areas of questions that a country can choose to include or exclude for based on their given interest. So, for example, the Household Core Questionnaire began with 25 questions in the first phase of the DHS back in 1984. And in its current phase, which is now phase 6, the Household Questionnaire contains 131 questions. And that's actually down from a peak in phase 5 of 226 questions. So much of this increase in the number of questions is attributable to a handful of topics, primarily HIV/AIDS, malaria, and maternal and child health. So let's look at our findings related to the 1,117 publications that use DHS data. As this figure shows, the annual number of publications over time has increased substantially. With 4.3 more publications each year. Of the 1,117 total publications, we classified 566, or 51%, as population and reproductive health. Oops. That's the red line here. And 605, or 54%, as maternal, child health, and nutrition. Both of these are non-mutually exclusive categories. 145 publications examine topics related to neither PRH nor MCHN topics, and those are represented by the yellow line. While the annual number of publications increased over time in both PRH and MCHN publications, the MCHN topics represented the larger increase, at 2.09 additional publications per year compared to PRH topics at 1.37 additional publications per year. And the recent increase in publications outside the PRH or MCHN categories is primarily due to an increase in number of publications in adult health and studies on survey methodologies. Further unpacking the two categories of PRH and MCHN reveals additional trends. If you turn to the left portion of the slide, you'll see that publications related to HIV/AIDS, that's the yellow line here, have increased substantially during the last decade, on average 1.9 additional publications per year between 2001 and 2010. Meanwhile, publications in fertility and family planning peaked in 1996 and have then basically been relatively flat thereafter. Turning attention to the MCHN graph, you'll note that publications related to child health, the green line here, represent the largest change over time, on average 3.6 additional publications per year between 2001 and 2010. We also looked into whether there's an association between the number of DHS surveys in a given country and the number of country-specific analyses published. And we found that the number of country-specific publications is statistically significantly associated with the number of surveys conducted in that country, even including the two outliers, Bangladesh and India. Bivariate linear regression analysis suggests that each additional survey yields 3.5 more country-specific publications, as you can see from this fitted line. And finally, we looked at trends in publications that analyzed multiple surveys, either within or across countries. So like I said before, one of the benefits of the DHS is that the data collected over time is internationally comparable and comparable over time. And so these multi-survey studies represented actually 34% of all of the studies that we reviewed. And as the graph shows, the annual number of these publications has also increased dramatically over time. So as DHS proliferate, it's clear that so too does peer-reviewed research analyzing DHS data, which is what we would hope. With this expansion comes increased availability of information, which provides the basis of evidence-based policy and program development. Our analyses reveal several important trends in the use of DHS data for research and publication. First, MCHN areas have seen the most dramatic increase in publications, and this may be attributable to recent additions of MCHN questions to the core questionnaire and additions of MCHN-related modules, or it may also be attributable to funding trends, which I'll come back to in a minute. Due to time limitations, I didn't really have a chance to show you, but we also found that the increase in studies in certain topics followed the introduction of related questions to the DHS, suggesting that DHS modifications are meeting emerging data needs. So, for example, HIV/AIDS publications proliferated in the years following the 2001 introduction of HIV testing and the 2006 introduction of the AIDS Indicator Survey. Similarly, recent increases in adult health publications using DHS data following the introduction of data collection related to adult health, and here some examples might be tobacco use questions or diabetes testing. These also confirm that DHS is meeting emerging health needs. Moreover, additions of such questions indicate that the DHS is responsive to the data needs of host countries, not just those of USAID and of other international donors for whom adult health issues are typically of lesser priority. These research trends demonstrate that DHS adaptations are meeting data needs, and researchers are utilizing DHS data to build the knowledge base. However, even though data is available, it's being transformed into information by the research community, and is being made available through peer-reviewed publications, it's difficult to really measure the uptake of such information by decision makers. So after thinking about this, one way we thought to measure the degree of the importance that decision makers place on a given issue is to review trends in funding for that issue. So we collected data on yearly U.S. government funding for specific international health issues here, specifically family planning, HIV/AIDS, and maternal child health and nutrition. And we compared those funding trends to trends in DHS publications on those issues. And as you can see from these three graphs, our analysis reveals that the trends in DHS research are highly correlated with trends in U.S. government funding for global health. Now, I should also, I'm sure as you all are thinking already, these correlations don't imply causality. The correlation could reflect the relationship that the increased number of publications using DHS data leads to an increase in funding. Or it could reflect the relationship that an increase in funding leads to an increase in DHS publications. It could also reflect a bidirectional relationship where basically the increase in publications leads to an increase in funding, which leads to an increase in publications, et cetera. It could also reflect a larger sector-wide consensus between researchers and the donor community on health priorities. Or, of course, the correlation could also be spurious. Nevertheless, the strength of the correlation does lend weight to the notion that research using DHS data likely provides relevant information for program and policy makers. So in conclusion, our results show that researchers are increasingly using DHS data and that vital health information is more accessible to health policy and program decision makers. And ultimately, DHS is well positioned to achieve its aim to provide quality data for policy development and program planning. Thank you. They were. They were actually highly, the trends in HIV, AIDS, and maternal child health and nutrition were highly significant. I think the correlation coefficient for HIV, AIDS was like 0.94. Let me see if I have it in some in my notes here. And it was similar for maternal child health and nutrition. It was not significant for family planning. For HIV AIDS, it was 0.93. For maternal child health nutrition, it was 0.85. Both of those p-values were less than 0.01.